Blog Talk Radio.
Trying to do a little bit better, and we hope that that also applies to you. Anyway, today what we're going to talk about is stress. How much is your stress costing you? You know, a lot of us are under a lot of different pressures, you know, financial pressures, relationship pressures, job pressures, you know, the pressures of the fact that we haven't taken care of ourselves, the pressures that we're dealing with because of just a lot of things aren't going right. Right now you've got a lot of people that are dealing with some pressures because their candidate didn't win the election. And you've got, you know, some people that are dealing with some pressures because now there's some changes that have to be made in their lives. And you've got some people that are dealing with some pressures, not from the things that they're doing now, but from the things that they've done earlier that are causing them to have to deal with the circumstances of the situations that they're in. So there's a number of different types of pressures. Again, health pressures, medical, body, mind, spirit, all of those different things actually contribute to our pressure, contribute to the things that are going on in our lives and how we deal with those things. But my question to everybody today is, how exactly are you dealing with your pressures? And are those pressures that you're dealing with, are they costing you more than they're worth? You know, are they actually sapping away the vital energy, the life force that you have? And are they causing you a lot more than they should be? First off, you know, you get a lot of people that say, okay, stress is bad. Well, there's good stress and there's bad stress. And I'm sure that everybody's heard that before. And it's true. And also, it's really not the stress that's the problem. It's how you react to the stress. It's how you deal with the different things that are going on in your life that either add to your stress or subtract from your stress. So again, it comes back to that number one word that nobody seems to want to hear because everybody feels as though they've done it the right way: choice. And your choice is. Many people are killing themselves because of stress. They're worried about things that they have no intention on actually taking any type of positive direction and changing. Well, then that means you want to die. Then that means you want the stress, because evidently what you truly want is not strong enough to make you do the things you truly need to do. Making those extra phone calls, asking that person for that information that you need, standing up for yourself, you know, allowing yourself to constantly go through the slings and arrows when we're not in a war. You know, this isn't a battle. This isn't combat. Most of us are stressed because we don't know how to talk to our kids. Our kids don't know how to talk to us. Well, how about we start with listening, and then from that listening, we can move to the next level. Then we've got people that just are listening, but they're having so much of a conversation inside their head. They're having so much self-talk inside their head that they're not hearing what the other person is saying. Why? Because they're hearing it through a filter. They're not getting the information pure. They're getting the information through somebody else's interpretation of it. And sometimes that person that's misinterpreting the information that they're getting is them. You know, that's a real major problem. If I'm talking to you about one thing and you're wrapping your mind around trying to get, why am I talking about this particular subject? And does this have to do with something that happened last week, last month, you know, last year? You know, I was talking to somebody that's actually very close to me recently, and I asked them, why did they do something? And I know I'm not going to get the story straight, but the gist is the same. I asked them why they did something, and the person threw back at me because I did something to them, not anything bad, but I did something to them 20 plus years ago. That scary. And why is that scary? Because that means that in that person's mind, because they either didn't have an appropriate answer for why they did what they did, or they were looking for some justification or some excuse to make what they did right, they came up with something that evidently has been in their mind for 20 plus years. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't operate like that. We can't function like that. We're causing undue stress in our relationships, and those relationships don't have to be intimate. In our relationships on all levels, we're talking business, we're talking in our churches, our religious congregations, we're talking in our social interactions with our clubs, our organizations, our children, our parents, our great-great-grandparents, all of those different things. All of these factors all come into one ball, and that one ball is you. And your perception of what happened 20 years ago between you and your grandmother or grandfather, or their interpretation of what happened to them with their parent or other person in the family, weighs on all of us. It actually has an effect, and that effect is what's generated us to be the individuals that we are and them to become the individuals that they are. So it's a domino effect. So I guess one of the key things is, do we as mature adults want to break that cycle? Because in most cases, that cycle is a cycle of negativity. Okay, let's go back to the primary or the primitive parts of human beings. Now, long, long time ago, you know, back when you defended yourself with a club, because there were no guns, there were no cars, there was no gasoline that you could use, there were no petroleum products, there were no plastics, there were no all these modern and new things that we have today. There weren't computers, there weren't, you know, all of these other gadgets that we now have to make our lives easier. We worked on a fight or flight type of mentality. You saw something that you knew could rip you apart, you ran, or you stood your ground and you fought. Well, we're no longer hunter-gatherers in the sense of the primitive time of hunter-gatherers. We're still hunter-gatherers in a way, but now, as somebody said before, when you want something, you go to your refrigerator. You know, when you want some dead animal flesh, all right, you go to your grocery store and then you pick the dead animal flesh that you want, and for a price, somebody else has already tracked it down. They've gathered it. They've slaughtered it. They've skinned it. They've processed it. Now they've packaged it, and now they're selling it to you. So things have changed. However, a lot of us are trying to use the primitive side to dictate the non-primitive world that we live in. And I'm not saying that some people can't be animals, but what I'm saying is that in your day-to-day life, that fight-or-flight scenario doesn't really apply. However, in your body, it still exists. However, we've taken that and we've manifested that into other things. You know, we get anxiety when somebody challenges us. Well, that original anxiety was from your ancestors, 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 hundreds and thousands of years back when they were running from a saber-toothed tiger, you know what I mean, or trapped in something and couldn't get out. However, we've taken that primary instinct and we've created all of these other hills and valleys and hurdles that we need to get through. First off, please, let's try to come back to the fact that your job is important. You need to be able to support yourself. So really, your job isn't important. Your ability to be able to support yourself is important. Okay? However, before you started that job, you had another job. All right? And when I say you had another job, I'm not just talking about a job that you're paid to do. I'm talking about your overall responsibilities in the society that we live in. Each of those things is a job. Each of those things is part of the evolution of you becoming who you are, or in some cases it may be the de-evolution of you. Learning, developing, growing, all of those things. Don't let, and do your best not to, let factors that you can't control, control you. You control you. You pick whether something is going to be a plus or a negative. Your perceptions, your beliefs, your knowledge thus far. Everything that you do is based on what you presently know. But in order for you to grow, what do you have to do? You have to continue to learn. You have to continue to develop. You know, if you don't like your position, leave your position. If you don't like your job, leave your job. If you're around negative people that don't make you grow, remove yourself from those negative people. Is it going to take time? Yes. Is it going to take effort? Yes. Is it going to take some responsibility from you? Yes. Is it going to take some adjustment? Yes. Is there going to be some growing pains? Yes. But are they worth it? Yes, yes, and triple 3,000 yes. Because those things are going to help you grow. Those things are going to help you develop. I constantly run into people that want to take a minor and make it a major. Those are people that, even if we love them, we have to kind of step back. Why? Because if we don't step back from their programmed negativity, then what happens is that we play into that programmed negativity. And as the Riddler said on The Joker, if you kill them, they ain't going to learn nothing. So you can't kill them. You can't beat them down. You need to understand that you're going to accept what you're going to accept, and then from there move on and try to find ways to deal with it. And hopefully with time and with the same amount of caring that you have for them, hopefully they have for you, they'll start to get it and they'll start to learn. But also understand that sometimes you need to learn some things too. So it's not like we're always right, even though we may be calmer. Also remember, for all of those that are somewhat like me, that are usually very calm, people that aren't very calm, you being calm flips their trigger. Don't try to figure it out. It's just the way it is. But also understand that you being calm is a choice, and them having their trigger switched is a choice. And it's sometimes it's a hard choice for them or a hard thing for them to give up. Anyway, here's some questions I have for you. Why are you doing this? Whatever it is stressing you, why are you getting this response? Something that you need to think about and then figure out ways that you can counteract that. All right? Do they or you have a choice in the matter? Of course you have a choice in the matter. There's no question about that. It's just you having enough control to stop and look at the thing that you're looking at. Is the job, position, company, business, people, them, or you the problem? It could be all of those factors that are playing into it. Your response to them, their response to you, their response to the job, their response to the mission, how they were raised, how they were brought up. You deal with a whole bunch of different personalities. There's no one way to deal with any one personality. Each one, or all of the personalities, each personality has a different way of calming it, easing it, making it work, making it so that you can move on with your life and not have to go through that drama. What would you have to do to make a change or to make things different? Again, that's basically what we're talking about. We're talking about how do you control yourself to make sure that things change. Again, if it's to the point to where it's totally toxic and it's never going to work, then you can't change it. It's time to, you know, pick up your rucksack and just walk away. Do what you got to do. Be respectful, be courteous, but just walk away. Leave that job, leave that situation. In some cases, you may have to leave that relationship. All right, there's really not much you can do with your kids, but when they turn 18, then you can buy that RV that you were thinking about, and just don't tell them you move, just drive away. But anyway, the other thing that I wanted to say is stress and tension killing you, and how is it killing you? It's killing you because it takes a lot of that energy out of you, a lot of that essence of life, a lot of those things that you need and I need to actually continue. Because, again, we have a fight or flight type of mentality. Well, how we deal with the things around us is going to dictate how we can deal with the different things. But, again, it's up to you. Here's some questions that you need to ask yourself. Are you getting enough sleep? Are you getting less sleep than you used to get? Are you skipping breakfast? Are you being uninformed? Are you disordered, or you have a lot of disorganization? You know, are you not prepared? Not prepared can also cause you a lot of stress. Being disorganized, You know, it's, you know, I mess with the kids all the time, but I tell them, you know, if you clean your room up and then when you come home, you just put your stuff away, then you won't have to keep cleaning your room. Cleaning your room will be a process of just taking the stuff that you had, putting it in the hamper, taking the shoes, putting them wherever, hanging your stuff up, you know, and then that's it. You're going back and forth to the kitchen, to the garbage, to the bathroom, all of these different places. If you put structure in your life, then you won't have that stress, or you'll have less stress. And when I say stress, I mean negative stress. There's good stress and there's bad stress. But we're not going to really get deeply into that whole stress medical analysis. I am not a doctor. However, I did learn something from Gail Cohen. Gail Cohen, again, is a female speaker, one of the first women to actually jump into that field and pretty much knock it off its pedestal. She got she had a particular thing that she shared with some of us, and she got it from another gentleman that shared it with her, and it was about golf balls and M&Ms, which is an interesting pairing, right? Well, basically, the way that the program or the mindset goes is that in your life, you have M&Ms and you have golf balls. Well, if you take all of the M&Ms that you have and you put them into a cup and a cup, you put the M&Ms in a cup, they all fit in a cup, okay? If you take the M&Ms out and you put all of the golf balls in the cup, they fit in a cup. However, and the golf balls are basically the big issues in your life. The golf balls are your family, your health, your spiritual state of mind, you know, your nutrition, exercise, your family. Those are the things that represent the golf balls. Those are the bigger things in your life, the things that have substance, the things that drive you, the things that make you, that you do all of the little things for. But the most important thing there is those golf balls. It is those foundational things, all right? Because, again, if you don't have your health, you have nothing. If you don't have your family, then you're alone, all right? If you don't have your spiritual state of mind and your mental state of mind, where are you? You're in some loony bin or you're doing a lot of amoral things. And that's not the way that you want to live your life, and that's also not a way that you can function in the world that we live in. So then you have what's called the M&Ms. What are the M&Ms? The M&Ms are the reports. The M&Ms are getting the car done. And the M&Ms are, you know, getting your clothes ironed. The M&Ms are all these little things, you know, the bills, the stuff that the boss needs or supervisor needs, the things that the company needs, the things that the county, the city, all of these other entities that are in your life need, the things that aren't really important, but they're important not necessarily to you, they're important to someone else. So those are what we call the M&Ms. And those M&Ms can consume you. Dealing with other people's problems while not maintaining or handling your own can become overwhelming. And if you spend all of your time working on those M&Ms, guess what you don't give any time? Guess what you don't delegate any attention to? Those main things, those core foundations, which are why you're doing or dealing with all of those little M&Ms, correct? All right. Now, the principle of the golf balls, as in put your golf balls first, and that's what you have to do. You have to put the primary things ahead of the small nuisance things that aren't really important to you, but they're important to other people. So in your mind, you've created the point to where they're important to you. What you need to do is you need to, when you go to fill your cup, because everybody has a cup, okay, in your cup, what you do is if you put all the M&Ms in and then you go to put one golf ball in, it fits. You go to put the second golf ball in, it fits. You go to put the third golf ball in, it doesn't fit quite well. You go to put the fourth golf ball in, it won't fit at all. Why is that? It's because you've got too many little nuisance things that aren't really going to generate what you need them to generate. And you're not going to get the end result for them because they're getting in the way of your core things, those things are taking up your time. So it's about delegating your time and your attention to those basic core things, and then from there everything else will fall in place. The story that Gail talks about is there's this gentleman that's in his almost his 60s. He's in his 60s and early 60s. And what he ended up doing was he came to this country not speaking any English, not having any education. Well, now he's a multimillionaire. I don't know, many times over. He now has a degree and a master's. He now runs about five to seven different businesses. And if you ask him, does he have any time, he'll tell you that he has all the time he needs. Well, why does he have all the time he needs? He has all the time he needs because he has realized that he can take care of those foundational things and everything else will fall in place. He has time because he takes time to put the things that are important first and the things that aren't important in their proper place, understanding that if he takes care of the important things, which, again, family, health, fitness, nutrition, those things, spiritual, mental, that the other things will fall in place. So again, if you were to ask him, even though he's a multimillionaire, does he have time? He would say yes. And what some people would say was, of course he's got time. He's a multimillionaire. Well, he didn't start out that way. When he got to the United States, he didn't speak English. When he got to the United States, he had, I believe it was $37 to his name. Well, here we are fast forward. Now he's a multimillionaire. When he was working 10-hour days at the dock, most people would have said they don't have time. When he was going to school full-time while he was working 10-hour days at the dock, most people would have said he didn't have time. When he was taking care of his family responsibilities and basically creating his legacy, most people would say they didn't have time. But this guy found time. Well, anyway, to go back to the story at hand and what we're talking about, what you need to do is you need to go ahead and put your golf balls inside your cup first. Once you've got your golf balls inside your cup, guess what? Then you take those M&Ms and you start pouring the M&Ms in the cup. Guess what? They'll all fit. They'll all fit. And why will they all fit? Because you took care of the core foundation things first. If you're miserable, that's your choice. If you're unhappy, that's your choice. If you wake up with an attitude in the morning, that's your choice. If you wake up and find something wrong with everything, that's your choice. If you find yourself driving and you're angry, that's your choice. If you find yourself in a job that you can't stand, that is your choice. If you feel as though you don't have enough money in your pocket, then that means you need to change some of the things that you're doing. And understand that over time, you'll get the result that you want to get, but there's going to be times when you need to make some adjustments. There is no perfect path to success. There is only paths. The path you choose is, again, your choice. So, again, take care of your golf balls first. Families, health, faith, spirit. The M&Ms can wait, ladies and gentlemen. Are you a conqueror or are you being conquered? Most of the people in the world today are being conquered. They are not conquerors. They'd like to portray themselves as conquerors, but they're actually being conquered. You have all the time you need. You have to decide on how you're going to use it. What are the first things that you're going to put first? What are the things that are going to help you to develop the life that you want to develop and then to share that life with others? You know, the other day I was talking about the fact that last month I donated some stuff to some people and I really wasn't impressed with the response that I got, but I was impressed with the fact that I did it. So that's good. I did what I said I was going to do. The fact that the people that I sent it to may have not appreciated it in a way that I thought was appropriate is irrelevant because I did it for me. And in lessons, by me doing it for me, I also ended up doing something for somebody else. I also talked about the day before yesterday, I donated a case of probably about 300 books to a third world country. Why? Because I was in the position to do it. And then yesterday, I donated another almost $1,000 worth of stuff to the Northeast. Why? Because I was in the position to do it. Well, now, Blog Talk, what I need to realize and what I need to work on doing, and I suggest this for anybody if you think about it, is what is it that you're in the position to do, and what positions would you be in that were better and would enable you to do more if you made some changes in your life? Because that's the dilemma that I'm dealing with now. The dilemma that I'm dealing with now is I wish I was in the position. I wish I had found ways to work harder and work smarter so that I was in the position to do more. Be a giver. Be a person that wants to do more and is in a position to do more. Even if you can't do more, do what you can. Don't look for a thank you. Don't look for a pat on the back. Understand that you're not just doing it for them. You're also doing it for you. Understand that a lot of things aren't going to come back to you. However, how you internalize that is also going to be to your disadvantage or to your reward, to your benefit or not to your benefit. So it doesn't really mean anything as long as what you're doing is the right thing, what other people believe and perceive. Believe in yourself, do what you know is right, and continue to do it again and again and again, no matter what anybody else does. It doesn't do anything for you. It doesn't make you any better by waiting for someone else to give you approval or to stop because somebody else doesn't. However, don't waste your time and your energy on somebody that's never going to appreciate it. Take that energy and put it into somebody that is and somebody that's going to do the same thing that you did and help another person and then help another. Anyway, this is Zurian of the Zurian Show. I want to thank you for listening. Remember, you have all the time you need, and nobody has any more than 24 hours a day. So do the best that you can, because all you can do is all you can do. Take care, be well, and again, as always, I am humbled and thankful that you continue to listen. Please share the show with other people, because we're always looking to grow. And again, without you listening, all I'm doing is talking to myself. Take care and be well.